Rock is in the house. Well, you just, you know, you just kind of keep going. Con is a, sort of different space.
It is. It is a different
and you're
space.
Removed from stuff. It was an all right day. It was our first tabling day, which...
I think it went well, but it was kind of exhausting.
Oh, it totally was. For the three-ish, maybe 3.5 hours that we were there.
We were there longer than we were
You don't even think
to.
About how long or what goes into it, like what it's going to take. Like my third trip to the car, I was like, no, we should have parked closer. Well, now we know.
There weren't enough spots close enough.
No, of course not.
I know. I mean... I parked as close as I could get to this morning, which of course is the furthest you can get away from pretty much everything at the con proper. But it's still in the hotel parking lot.
Right.
Which is not bad.
Right.
Considering how many people are here.
Yeah. It was, Saturday is really like the penultimate, it's literally the penultimate day, but it's when things really get going down. A lot of people, and it surprises me, it's a 4-day con and you can only buy a 4-day pass, which a lot of people lament, and I understand that why they don't like that. But people who, but people plan to try to go all 4 days.
Yes.
Some people can. And so, you know, I actually saw a lot of people that I know who just showed up. Hey, this is now I'm doing con. It's my 2-day con because I got to work, all week.
Which sucks.
Yeah. Good example of that. Stephen Bruce. Saw him today.
You did.
Yeah. And had a nice little chat with him.
Awesome.
And reminded him, but not for long, about our chat at NerdCon Stories. And he immediately remembered. And
awesome.
He commended me, us. Himself too, in my opinion, all of ourselves, on the great interview and talk that we had with him, which is actually available in our archives, and we booked another interview for the future. So,
awesome!
Yeah,
great. I know he was a very great guest, and a very great guest. But one thing that was I really enjoyed talking to Stephen was he's kind of like, okay, I'm not really sure what these guys are about, but he like
he took a chance.
He did. But, you never know when you say, yeah, sure, I'll do your podcast. You never know what the hosts are going to be like. Like, did these guys just start doing this last
week?
Like,
super racist.
Oh, whoa. But he really
Which we are, but we hide it so well.
Oh, come on. But we just, we were having fun with him. Yeah. And you're such a huge fan of the Three Musketeers and Dumas as well.
We
you
about
guys
that forever.
Just totally hit it off.
Yeah.
And I think he was just so... pleasantly surprised about, and it was great.
And he mentioned it today, too, when I talked to him. And he said that it's so great to do in-person interviews, and it's great that we live in proximity to each other. So we'll have an in-person interview with him soon. It's so much more personal, and it's so much more of a conversation than just Skype, like, are you there? It says,
issues that you have.
Or an email interview, which is just like doing homework. You're just filling out like question number 5.
You're
I get this right.
I don't want to do this right now.
Yeah. On the topic of interviews, we did talk to a couple of the people today. We talked to Lynn M. Thomas.
Yes. Who's absolutely lovely.
Has so many titles. Mainly she is, what is she? She's the curator and archivist for rare books for
North Illinois University. Yeah.
NIU, North Illinois University. Mm-hmm. She's also the host and, I don't even know what my title is, the host, creator, writer, producer for the Verity, say it like that.
Exactly.
Podcast and the SF Squeecast.
And the Verity podcast was the first all-female fan Doctor Who
That's
podcast.
Right. Yeah, and she may be the person with the most Hugos that we've ever interviewed.
Yes, she has 1-3.
Yes.
She is up for
Coming
a
up for
10th. So she's nominated for 10 total. She's up for an award this year as well.
So, and it's looking good.
Yeah.
And she author, she has a couple different books, which are pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, great treat. Just a treat to talk to her.
Yes.
Got to talk to Greg Wiseman, which I did not think was going to happen.
Right.
And he was really great. So we asked him about Young Justice.
Yes, we did.
We didn't get anything new necessarily, but we got the same thing that he's been saying to other people. Also,
we're just going
to
spread the word.
Yeah, we're going to spread the word. He's telling the fans to continue to support Young Justice where you find it on Netflix. Watch it on Comixology, on digital comics. Buy it. If you buy toys, it's not going to help at this point. That was kind of the problem before, but that's not the problem now. And if you buy old comics, great. Great that you love Young Justice. But
right.
If you buy them digitally, that tells the companies behind them that people are interested in this.
And
so
they want more.
Keep watching.
keep circulating the tapes. That's MST3K. Keep getting the digital comics and tell the people in charge that you like this and you'll buy it. And that's how you get a season three of Young Justice.
And we also got a chance to talk to Carrie Patel again today.
Yes.
Who it's always lovely to talk to. She is the author of the Buried Life book. It's a trilogy.
Yeah, the Recoleta trilogy.
Yes, and the third one is coming out shortly.
Yes. It's funny because she's working on it, which can mean a lot of things for an author.
Right.
I thought it must be done by now, but I'm sure it's in some stage of final-ish draft.
Right.
But she seemed very calm about it, which is not surprising. She's a very calm, collected person.
She is.
She's very self-assured. But I was like, wow, you seem pretty calm for an author behind a deadline. She's like, yeah, it's fine. Okay. All right.
She said she practices saying it's going well
in the
mirror.
Lying.
Which I thought was great.
Yeah, but she talked about her process, and she talked about how she works on stuff, and she's got a good head on her shoulders.
Yeah.
And a good head of hair on her shoulders, too.
Yes, absolutely.
And how she's working on that. She has been working for Obsidian, of course, as a writer and a narrative designer for their games.
Yes.
And also is possibly, I think, looking to probably... develop some things for the screen.
Yes.
And let's get Buried Life made into a movie.
I think that'd be awesome.
Let's get that thing optioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would make a great movie.
I think so, too.
What else did we do today?
Oh, I went to an awesome panel earlier today run by my friend Jem. Hey, Jem. She did a panel in the sandbox where she taught everybody how to do My Little Ponytails. And I know, okay, so this was awesome. And so it's like yarn, and you put it over like a metal or wooden circular hoop.
Right.
And you make it a tail, and you can put it on your belt loop or connect it so you have a little swishy pony to My Little Ponytail.
Right.
I did have something.
Good for flies.
Yes. I did have something tragic happen, though, with my tail.
What happened?
I was rushing between events today, as you do, to go to the restroom. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay, I made it. All right. Oh, no.
My
tail is in the toilet. This is bad. So
Error was a factor.
User error. Yeah. So let that be a lesson to you, listeners. If you have a My Little Ponytail, make sure.
Watch your tail. I did a panel.
Yes, you did.
Well, I did a couple panels.
You did do a couple of panels.
But I actually did a panel called Everything New is Old Again.
Yes.
And the gist behind it was that Hollywood and beyond Hollywood, comic books, books in a lot of ways, definitely TV, seem to be addicted to reboots.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has always been rebooted. A point that I made during the panel was that the filmed 1939 Wizard of Oz that you know and love was the third filmed version
yes.
of Wizard of Oz. It had been made two times before. So this is not a new thing.
No.
But it is certainly something that is taking over, especially in our media-savvy culture, where you can have a book like Ancillary Justice.
Yep.
Or, people are just taking things to the moon.
Yes.
Sometimes literally. And yet we're doing Point Break again. What's up with that?
I don't know.
And that was the thrust of the panel. Mm-hmm. And it was actually a really good discussion. It was in a very big room.
Yes, it was.
It had a good-sized audience.
It did.
Not one that could fill that room necessarily.
No.
But they were very vocal, and they were there to hear about the things that we wanted to talk about. Yes, the answer is yes. We did talk about the Ghostbusters reboot.
How could you not?
But it was positive. We all were critical, but fair,
mm-hmm.
and also positive. Mazel mazel, good things. We're all hoping for something good out of this.
Exactly.
Even though it doesn't seem great.
Yes.
But I feel like it's growing pains within the industry. And that's a totally different discussion, which is probably in another panel down the hall.
Probably.
About sexual politics and approving greenlighting films.
Yes.
But beyond that, I did another panel called called Uphill Both Ways. Now,
yes.
This is a 10th 10 o'clock, 10:30.
Yeah, it's a late panel.
Saturday night panel.
And it's not like a fun drinking panel. We're playing a game.
Yeah, it wasn't Punnell. It wasn't,
nope.
What is my line? Is it your line?
Exactly.
Somebody's line?
Yeah.
It's one of those, I always said that my favorite panel was, must have been a Friday or Saturday night when we talked about James Bond books at 11:30 at night.
Uh-huh.
This is one of those panels.
Yep.
And I was actually proud to be on it because... It represented the kind of thing that I like, which is a bunch of nerds who could be doing anything else are here to talk about, in this case, the classic perambulatory journeys in film. That is to say, people walking on their little tootsies one way or the other to get to where they're going. We talked about some of the most famous walking journeys in film. We talked about why writers use something like that when modern conveyance or even ancient conveyance is so easy.
Mm-hmm.
The Three Musketeers are riding horses somewhere.
Right.
Why do you write a character is going to have to walk somewhere? What does that journey mean?
Uh-huh.
What happens to that person on that journey? What happens when they try to come back? And used classic examples. I tucked a few video game examples in there, which I didn't feel were too out of the milieu of what we were doing.
No, I don't think so.
And I think it turned out okay. And at the end of the panel, and I almost said this semi-derisively, because I think it's a weird sort of underbaked idea, but that gave rise to this sort of emergent community that we formed, because the audience had some great suggestions.
Right.
And we were done, and I kind of stood up and I was like, man, who came up with that?
Right.
And didn't say it out loud. And then this lady comes up, she's like, I want to thank you guys so much. This was my idea.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, you came up with that. And
yes,
she's like,
she did.
And I just had this idea, and I love the things that you guys said, and it just really spoke to me, and I'm glad that this happened. And I was like, okay, well, that's why we do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It worked out great.
It worked out fantastic.
And I got to verbally spar with Elizabeth Bear, which is fun.
Yes.
I came out okay.
I think you guys both came out on top.
Yeah, it was one half a Revenant. It wasn't a full Revenant.
No. Oh, wow. I do want to mention really quick, I did get the chance to go to What a Concept, which is a panel.
In Soviet Russia, panel go to you.
Yes. But it was a panel all about music and specifically about concept albums. And a lot of what we talked about is what makes a concept album and does this qualify? How about this?
Kid A is a concept album about 9/11. Says Chuck Klosterman, released
really?
In 1998.
Okay,
figure that out,
sir. All right, I'll have to. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
What were the rules? What is a concept
album? We didn't. I don't think we really came down on a definitive side. But it was like, there has to be kind of like a common narrative that goes through the songs.
Yeah.
And then there was a debate on like whether or not. Is it a concept album if it's clearly somebody going on an emotional journey, even if it is personal?
Right.
I think in some cases it is. I brought up Sufjan Stevens' album, Carrie and Lowell, which is all about his mom, who was kind of estranged from. She suffered from a lot of mental issues, mainly being bipolar, and really couldn't take care of the kids and kind of lost it and went away, and she passed away recently, and her husband, her second husband, so his stepfather passed away. So it's all about him kind of dealing with that, but also kind of dealing with the emotions of, it's a loss, but she wasn't really present in his life.
Yeah.
And I think it is a concept album, but I also...
Did anybody say A Grand Don't Come for Free by the Streets?
No.
Should have.
Oh my gosh, that's a perfect one. And that's the kind of thing like people kept kind of bringing up. I was thinking of examples in my head and I was like, "No, that's not it." Like I was thinking Pinkerton by Weezer. I was like, "That's just me personally
thinking." Absolutely is.
But somebody else brought that up and I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
So
and the concept is I'm ready to be done as an artist.
Pretty much.
Signed Rivers Cuomo.
Yes. We were also talking, I came in a little bit late and they were talking about Purple Rain and Barb Abney, who we've interviewed on the show before. She's a local
friend of the
DJ.
Show.
Yes. She had said that she thought that it was a concept album and somebody else was arguing, is it really a concept album because it's like a soundtrack? And I embarrassingly raised my hand and said, I think it is a concept album because you listen to it, especially after he has passed away, and there is an emotional arc that he takes you through with this album. And embarrassingly enough, I have not seen the film, and I think I broke Barb Abney's heart.
Oh, no.
I think I did. She just kind of looked at me, and she's like, "You have never seen Purple Rain?" And I was like, "No. I know. I'm embarrassed. I should get out. I should not be here. They told me they needed to take my
nerd. How thick are these windows?
Yeah, they told me they needed to take my nerd music card away. But she said she wanted to take me out to see the movie right then.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, anyway, it was a great panel, and that's just one of the things. Like they said, if you enjoy talking about music panels at con, to like put that in, there's a survey at the end of the con. You can say, "Hey, I really enjoyed this.
Vote for more."
Yeah, because there was only one, and everybody who is on that panel considers themselves to be a music nerd, and I do think that is a form of nerddom. And there are totally people that want to do it.
We've supported that for 2 years now.
Yeah.
Purple Rain is clearly a concept album,
right?
It starts off, the water isn't warm enough. It gets warmer. Eventually, the water is warm enough. There's a journey there. My favorite moment at the con today was probably, it's so stupid, but I saw a girl who was dressed as female Patrick Bateman, like a cross-cast Patrick Bateman, wearing a raincoat, slicker. And I came up, I'm like, "Are you female Patrick Bateman?" She's like, "Yes, I am." Second question, "Can I get your picture?" She's like, "Absolutely." So I took it. She had the blood splatter. And then she got done, and she gave me her card. She's like, "Yeah, this is my card." I'm like, "Oh, we're doing this. We're doing this, the card scene from American Psycho right here." And I got my card out, and I'm like, "Yeah, that's Cillian Rail. See that color? It's bone." And she liked it. It was one of those connections that only two idiots who have seen a Mary Harron movie from 16 years ago can enjoy.
It's a good movie.
Do you have a favorite moment from today?
Oh, gosh. You know, I had a lot of great moments at our fan table, just kind of getting people, getting the word out about the show.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people who, like, I just told them about our show, and they were just like, "Oh my gosh, that's amazing." And they're like genuinely excited about it.
Yeah.
So I really hope, you know, I mean, that's one reason why we do it. I really hope that they genuinely listen. And if they do, shout out to you guys.
Yeah. If you are coming in after meeting us at the con or going to our table or just seeing the posters around, welcome. And I hope you enjoy the show. This is in our usual format. We'll be back to our regular format as the weeks go on. Yep. But it's just little con shows.
Yeah.
Here and there, just telling you what's going on. We're going to have another one tomorrow for the last day of con, so come back and join us for that again. It's getting there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the pumpkin is turning into a coach, or the other way around. The horses are turning into lizards.
Oh.
I haven't seen that movie in a while.
That's a problem.
I don't really know that movie. But yeah, we will be back tomorrow with more from the con from Convergence. And we're signing off for now. I'm your host, Caliban.
I'm your co-host, Mikan Hanna.
Keep the geek fires burning.